On behalf of myself and the other 19 missionaries who went off to Honduras this past week, I wanted to thank the entire parish for your prayers. It was a successful mission. We spent our time laying the foundation for an addition to a little schoolhouse there. It's a one-room schoolhouse. It needs to be expanded into two more sections. So we did a lot of work preparing for that. Also spending time with the people of different villages, celebrating Mass and bringing some catechetical books and rosaries and things, and just being able to share our faith with them and them sharing their faith with us. It was a wonderful experience. So thank you again for your prayers and certainly the generosity of all our parishioners in helping to support the Honduran mission. We've been told by some people that religion, faith, ought to be a private affair. There's no need to bring out the name of Jesus Christ in place or to wear our religion in our sleeves or anything like that. Part of the reason, I believe, is because deep in their own minds and hearts, people know what truth is, but they like to live in denial of that truth. Reason being, as human beings who are affected by original sin, we like to do evil sometimes. And we don't like anybody telling us that to feel guilty about it. We don't like somebody telling us that we're wrong or that we're bad, and so we just try to ignore it altogether and relegate faith, relegate religion to the farthest corners and not have it come into our minds or out in public where it can actually convict us of wrongdoing or sin. But what does Jesus say? Number one, he says, "Let your light shine before others, that they can see the good things you do and give glory to God," not to us, to God. He tells us to proclaim the things that we have heard from him from the very housetops, from the roofs of our houses, so to speak, shouting out the truth of the gospel. That we are to tell the entire world that he, Jesus Christ, is Lord. That there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's not exactly keeping things private. He wants it to be evident that we are who we say we are. And we demonstrate our faith by the way that we live our lives, the things we say and the things we do that prove what we believe. In the gospel, Jesus has 72 disciples that he sends out to go out to the byways and different towns and villages to prepare for his own coming. Now think of this. In addition to the 12 apostles, he has these 72 disciples that he sends out in pairs. Why the difference in the number? Well, we all know what the apostles were. These are the 12 chosen by the Lord Jesus to learn intimately who he was, what he was going to teach. He gave them the power to do all the things that he did. So they were going to be the leadership of the church. When he ascended into heaven, the apostles were ordained by Christ to be there for the others. The disciples take what they receive from the apostles and bring that to other people. Much the same that we're doing right now. You, the laity, here at church to do what? To hear the word of God, to internalize the word of God, to be inspired and enlightened by his teaching and his word, and whatever I can do to help to explain that. Then to receive the word made flesh in the Eucharist, to give you the power and the strength to take what you receive here and bring it out to the world. That is our job as priests and laity all together as the church, is to take whatever we do in here and to bring it out there and not to be afraid of it. Never to be ashamed of it, of who we are, what we believe. Take for example, Easter Vigil, Holy Saturday night. You come into church, the church is in complete darkness, right? It's a symbol of the darkness of the world without Christ. What happens? Before Mass begins, we gather outside. The priest then prepares and blesses this Easter candle. It's lit. Everybody comes in the church with their own individual candle. Everybody lights their candle from this one, and the church becomes illuminated. It's a symbol for us in the world to bring the light of Christ, to bring that darkness to an end, and to enlighten the world with the name and the faith that comes from the Lord Jesus. Prepare the way for Christ. The Lord says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. We use that term as a way to pray for vocations to the priest and religious life worldwide, and that is true, but it's also to pray for the entire church, the laity, that all of us, clergy and laity together, would do our part in deepening our faith, strengthening our prayer lives, and more effectively demonstrate the love of Christ in our words and our deeds. Now here's a note. Jesus said the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. He didn't say go and sow the seed. That's an interesting point. Jesus was telling the people in his own time, go to those who've had the seed planted in them. Go to the Jews, those who were given the beginning of the covenant through the prophets. Go and tell them that the time of the prophets has come to an end, and the era of the Messiah is now here. The old covenant goes to an end, and a new covenant begins in Christ. And he sends his disciples to go and do just that, to prepare the way of the Lord. He would take care of the harvesting and letting it grow. And then we'd sow the seed, rather. But we are there to take care of the harvesting and to help the seed to grow. What does it mean for us in modern times? It means for us, the baptized, to bring back those who likewise have been baptized, to bring those who have the seed but have done nothing with it, those who are languishing in fields that are actually destroying the possibility of growth, for us to take our faith to the outside world and to help others' seeds grow, to help them to flourish, to support one another in learning the faith and practicing the faith, doing whatever we can to foster the growth of the Christian faith in our world. If it means praying with others, if it means offering them a ride to Mass, whatever it might be, helping with their physical needs, offering them to join in prayer and study groups, whatever it is, to make the word of Christ effective in our lives and theirs. The problem is because we get worried about what the world's going to say, we don't do anything. We become the problem. We're the problem because we're worried about what they're going to say or think if they see our loyalty to Jesus Christ. Well, so what? So what? People might laugh at us. People might insult us. People might sneer at us, whatever happens. But in the end, the last laugh is not going to be theirs. As Jesus said, it will be more tolerable on Sodom and Gomorrah than for these people on the last day. That's a scary thought. Pray for them. Pray for their conversion. Offer your mind and heart to the Lord. We can do whatever we can to bring people back to Him before it's too late. Notice that Jesus says that we are known by our fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. I've said this before. Religious does not necessarily mean holy. Holy people are religious, but not all religious people are holy. A truly holy person will have a deep life of faith. And that truly holy person will demonstrate that faith naturally through their prayer, their worship, their adoration, mass attendance, also their works of charity, generosity, their respectfulness toward others, their kindness, their courtesy. Truly holy people will make retreats, or they might do that, or they might join a prayer group or volunteer for something, but they do these things out of love for Christ. They do these things to be of help to others in some way. Holy people don't do anything to seek recognition or reward. They don't do things for an emotional high or simply to feel good. Holy people do what they do simply because they're seeking God. They seek God and they want to do what's right by God and to keep a clear conscience before Him and before others. Sadly, there are far too many so-called religious zealots who give Christianity a bad name. They put a bad taste in people's mouths because, well, you know, we can be very good at driving people away by the things that we do, by our attitudes. The question should always be, what am I doing in my life to bring other people to Christ? We can't be like some who have a superiority complex, who think that we're better than others, holier than thou. We can't have a disdainful attitude toward others or become showy and superficial, and with that to become unpleasant and unkind. You've got some people who will do and do and do and do things for others, but get mad if nobody does for them in return. Well, Jesus said not to worry about that. Just do what you have to do. Don't expect anything back. For people like this, money can become a central concern, almost an obsession. They're not trusting that God will take care of the things as He sees fit, which He will. In sum, I think the words of St. Gregory the Great are important. He once wrote, "We have so many priests, but too few shepherds. We have so many faithful, but too little faith." That should make us think. So many priests, but too few shepherds. So many faithful, but too little faith. Brothers and sisters, as St. Paul reminds us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let Christ dwell in you richly. Boast of nothing, be proud of nothing except Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. And what He has done for you, in turn, do for others. What you hear Christ teach, in turn, teach others. And have no fear of the evil one himself or of evil men or evil women when they try to stifle the Holy Spirit's power in the church and her members. As Christ said, Satan has already fallen. But be comforted and strengthened by the Lord. As we're told in the psalm, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And offer yourselves readily. Offer yourselves readily to him to bring in a great harvest of souls.